It's Friday, the 11th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to Elton Brand, Orlando Johnson, and Anthony Davis. Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and White Man Can't Jump 93. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like White Man Can't Jump 93 and sponsor the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become a sponsor of the show. It doesn't get much simpler than that. If you are watching this show live on YouTube and you want to interact with the show, tweet at me, redrock_bball, and you can get some live interaction happening as we do the show. Interesting day in the NBA. Four games on Thursday. We've got a big Friday planned as well. We got lots to talk about, so
let's get to it.
We'll start off, as always, with the Thursday action on Instagram and Facebook. On Instagram, we're looking at Pau Gasol. How many combined points and rebounds would Pau have? Two people got it right, Chris_Smooth and Dylan M. Irvine. 33 was the answer. On Facebook, we were looking at the big Ukrainian Alex Len from the Phoenix Suns. How many combined points, rebounds, and blocks would Len have? The total was 18. No one got it right. We had lots of people throw answers in, but no one got that one correct. So the prize of a shout-out, jackpots to Friday's action. And on Friday's action, on Instagram, we're looking at Avery Bradley, how many combined points and steals, and then Facebook, Victor Oladipo, combined points, rebounds, and assists. So make sure you're following those social media accounts, which is Instagram at redrock_bball and facebook.com/redrockbasketball to join in those contests. Today, for the monstrous line of the night, we have a little bit of a different theme today. I have a very special guest presenter who has requested to come on and present the monstrous line of the night. Really just keen to get his face on video and his voice heard on audio. He's also requested an entrance song. So for the monstrous line of the night, here we go. Welcome my son, Ben Lloyd. Ben, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. It's good to have you back on the show. I don't think you've been on this season, have you?
Not yet.
Good entrance music.
Yeah.
Big Hulkster fan.
Hulk Hogan.
Big Hulkster fan. Ben, the monstrous line of the night. It's a staple of the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Show, and you've got the honor today of announcing the monstrous line of the night. Go ahead.
The monstrous line of the night for Thursday's game is Kawhi Leonard, who scored 29 points with 4 3-pointers, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 blocks in 39 minutes.
Thanks, Ben. You got your wish.
That's completely amazing.
It's a pretty big performance from Kawhi, isn't it? You got your wish. You're on the show.
Yep.
What are you going to do now? Go play some WWE 2K16.
Oh yeah, yeah.
All right. Enjoy the rest of the rest. Enjoy the game. Hope you win a few title belts. See ya, mate. All right. Kawhi. That was Ben. He's really angling to get on the show today. There he is. He's announced Kawhi Leonard's monstrous line of the night, and Kawhi was a monster yet again. His season has been fantastic. He is hitting three-pointers at 47% this season. I don't think we anticipated that, and I talk about people who have massive jumps in their field goal percentage being unsustainable, but Kawhi does it, and you go, you know what, this guy's just that good. Now, he has fallen off slightly. He's only at 33% the last week, 44% the last 2 months, but really, is that really a fall-off from Kawhi? He's at 41% the last month. He's a bit up and down, but seriously, he is leading the league in three-point percentage. He is up to almost 2 triples a game. He's giving you almost 7 boards a game, over 20 points, almost 2 steals, almost a block, 51 and 88. Kawhi is a lock for the top 10 for a pretty long stretch to come. And after I spoke the other day about all his big minutes and he played 24 and I seemed like a real knob, he went out and played big minutes again, another 39 for the Spurs. And he's going to be a real handful come the playoffs because he is a monster on both ends. And fittingly, he gets the monstrous line of the night for Thursday. The waiver wire line of the night. I'm going to combine it with the, before we get into that, Ewell Collins commenting live. He says, I was wondering what happened to the young kid. No, he's here. He hasn't been all that interested in getting, you know what, I think he was a bit worried with the podcast about when we switched to doing it live. Just afraid of any stumbles in the live show, but I think he got through it all right today, so that's where Ben's been. He's back. The waiver wire line of the night and the young gun of the night, we're combining that into one because it goes to Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets, who played 27 minutes and was amazing again. 18 and 10, a triple, 4 assists, 2 steals, three blocks, 6 of 8 from the field, and all 5 of his free throws. And I don't know how many times I've said that this season is, if he plays 20 minutes a game, he is ownable. If he gets more than 20, forget about it. He is a top 50 player, and he is a top 50 player the last 2 weeks in 25 minutes a game. He does everything. He can be a triple one guy at some point in his career. Probably, well, he's not there yet because he's only at 0.3 triples a game. But yeah, big percentages, field goal and free throw, steals, assists, rebounds, points, blocks. He does everything. Really excited to see this guy develop in the NBA. He has just been putting up some pretty incredible numbers this season. And as a surprise packet, I think that's fair to say. Not many people really had him on the radar. He was a guy that I was definitely interested in the preseason. And with all the big games that Joffrey Lavernier was having, I still believe that Jokic was the better player then, and spoke to quite a few people who agreed with me on that. But it took him a while to get going. But once he's got going, he looks like a real, real find for the Denver Nuggets. And they've got a few guys who are playing, a few young guys who are playing sensationally. Gaz Harris and Emmanuel Mudiay, the other couple, who are really putting in some big, big numbers. The dud of the night goes to Kyle Korver of the Atlanta Hawks. Korver played just 26 minutes. He had 5 points. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 triple. There was a stage where it was really tough to own Korver. He sort of started to come back, but now he's back to that middling yuckness. Yes, he's hitting 2 triples a game, but his main value came from the fact that he hit 3 triples a game last year. Single-digit scoring. He's not doing anything rebounds, assists, steals, or blocks-wise. Yes, he hasn't missed a free throw in the last month. How many has he taken? I'm going to bet it's not many. In the last month, Kyle Korver has attempted 3 free throws. So even though he hasn't missed one, that sort of volume does absolutely nothing for you. Nothing. And that's, you know, one of his so-called strengths is just basically a negative. You might as well take 0 free throws and, you know, not hit any, obviously, because if you could hit one without taking one, you're doing a pretty good job. But in that sort of volume, there's no need for it. You can drop Korver. He is not a must-own player. He would be for some teams if he plays 4 games and gives you 8 triples. That's valuable. But everything else he does is benefiting you in no way, really, at all. So Kyle Korver, to me, not a must-own player any longer. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup for Thursday's games. That's the wrong graphic. Jeez, I do that too often. I need to label them better. At point guard, Tony Parker, 42.8, and Kyrie, 41.9. I reckon I covered both of those guys yesterday pretty extensively. Parker was back from his toe issue and looked great. For the Bulls, Etuan Moore at shooting guard, 34.2, thriving without Jim Butler. And Devin Booker, another big game, back-to-back 30-point games for Booker. I know there was a stat that I saw come out today that Booker is the first rookie to put up back-to-back 30-point games since LeBron James. So 45.1 to Booker. That slump he had through January appears well and truly over. Small forwards, Kawhi Leonard at 47.4 and LeBron James at 41.5. Spoke about them yesterday, and they were the place where you wanted to spend the money, and hopefully you did because your lineup would look pretty good. LaMarcus Aldridge at power forward at 44.5. Channing Frye, the big wild card, putting up 32.9 when he got a start with Tim Mozgov out. Real tough to predict that one. And at center, the big boy, Nikola Jokic, 46 points. That lineup would have given you 376 points. 0.3. That was horribly phrased. Sorry about that. All right, we are going to get into these games in just a moment. I'm going to look at them in a little bit more detail. Before I do that, I'm going to have a quick break for a word from one of our sponsors. Okay, guys, we are back. There were 4 games on Thursday. First one, the Atlanta Hawks and the Toronto Raptors. Al Horford, he was solid, 20-4, 3 assists, 2 steals, and 3 triples. The fact that Al Horford he hits 3 triples now, and I don't even shrug my shoulders. I just go, yeah, that's Al Horford. He hits triples, apparently, and that's just what he does. And it's pretty strange. But it is what it is now. Kent Bazemore had a pretty nice game as well. 13-8 with 2 triples and 2 blocks. His form has curtailed quite a bit, but I still think you want to own him. Jeffy Teague played 25 minutes, 10-4-7 with 2 steals. Or Den Schroeder played 25 minutes and went 11-2-5 with a steal. This will happen from time to time. Predicting it is the tough part. And you can't do it. You can't know which night that what night that Teague is going to play 30 minutes and Schroeder is going to play 12. You can't predict what night the other way around, what night they're going to split the minutes or anything like that. Like, it's tough. And that's why it's tough to own Schroeder. I think Teague you have to keep holding, but for Schroeder, yeah, like, that's really good. But then he'll play, you know, 16 minutes and have 7 points. And the overall value of what he does It's just not enough to me. Paul Millsap struggled. He went 12-5, but did contribute 2 steals and 3 blocks, so a nice night there. But 8 of 12 from the free throw line, you're not a massive fan of. And Timmy Hardaway had 11 points in his 21 minutes. The minutes are up, but his fantasy value is pretty minuscule. On the Raptors, DeMar DeRozan had 30 points and 5 rebounds. No other stats from him. That's a DeMar DeRozan of a couple of years ago. Did add a 3 and was 11 of 20 from the field and 7 of 9 from the free throw line. So still a very nice overall performance from DeMar. Kyle Lowry went 19 with 7 assists and 2 steals. So nice numbers there. What about my boy Patrick Patterson? 26 minutes, 12 points with 4 rebounds and 2 triples. Had a block as well. This is like a season high, it feels like. I know it's not, but he just doesn't do it often enough to really gain consideration outside of 16-team leagues. Luis Scola was back in the starting lineup after resting the last game. Jason Thompson went back to a DNP CD. So, any hope of Thompson having deep league value or even close to standard league value in a starting role is obviously evaporated now. Scola had himself a nice game too, 10-12, but don't buy into that one. I'm happy that Norm Powell got another start. He played 17 minutes, just the 2 points for Norm, but 3 assists and 2 steals, getting it done in that sense. And he's a 20-team league target if he's going to hold on to this starting role, at least until Damari Carroll returns. Jonas Valanciunas, efficient, 3 of 6, 3 of 5 shooting, 10-10 in 24 minutes, but just doesn't get enough run to really explode into that top 40 position. And Bismack Biyombo grabbed 9 boards with 2 blocks in his 24 minutes. Terrence Ross had 12 points in 26, but nothing all that exciting with his performance. The Bulls and the Spurs, no Jim Butler, so Etuan Moore got the start again. He had 20 points, including 4 triples, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. That is fantastic. That is not something you can expect Moore to continue to do, but 14-team leaguers would want to add him, because even when Butler came back the other day, Moore still played mid-20s minute-wise. He's being preferred to Aaron Brooks as the backup point guard as well, so he's going to have somewhat of a role. With Butler out, he's a back-end 12-team league guy, but apparently Butler's going to return in the next 2 games or so. So any long-term value that Moore has is not high, but we're in the playoffs mostly now, and long-term value is not really what you're looking at. You're looking at what's happening here and now. Powell, 21-12, 4 assists and 2 blocks, keeps getting it done. Nikola Mirotic, he's coming good at the right time of the year. 8 points only for Mirotic, but this is what I talk about with plenty of players. He might have a night where he doesn't score, but he does everything else. Aaron Aflalo has a night where he doesn't score, and he's useless. Mirotic, only 8 points, but 2 triples, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. He should be owned in every league. He should be owned everywhere. He won't necessarily be great every night, but this is something I've been saying for a long time. Taj Gibson's not great. Taj Gibson's not exciting or explosive or young or healthy. Mirotic is going to play some decent minutes, and I wish he could get to 30, because he would be a top 50 player in 30 minutes. I know people are going to think that I'm crazy, but his ability to put up stats, if he got 30 minutes, is very, very high. Derrick Rose had another 21 points. He had 6 assists and 3 rebounds. Decent performance there. And Mike Dunleavy creeping up towards 30 here too. 29 minutes with 7 points, 6 rebounds, and 3 assists. Taj had 22 minutes. Now, he did have some foul trouble. That limited him to 22 minutes, 8-5. He is not a must-own guy to me in 12-team leagues. Definitely not 10-team leagues, maybe 12s, but he just doesn't do enough. He's not a guy that really fills it up. Bob Portis played through his orbital contusion, 11 minutes for 4 rebounds. Any hint of standard league value for Bob is done. The Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge, 26-10 with 2 steals and a block. Big night from Aldridge, and he has been... Look, I was massively down on Aldridge to start the season. Huge. I was not interested in him at all. I had him outside the top 40, I think, and he was outside the top 60 to start the year, but he has come home remarkably strong. He's a top 10 player over the last 2 weeks. He's a top 30 guy over the last 2 months, and it still puts him outside the top 50 on the season. But the last 2 months, when you're averaging 20-8 with 1.5 blocks on 54-92, those numbers are tremendously valuable. Not value, they're tremendously valuable. He's been fantastic in San Antonio, and he has fit in beautifully. Tone Parker, 20 points, 4 rebounds, and 12 assists. Super efficient, shooting 10 of 16. It helps when you're taking on the Bulls, whose defense is trash at the moment. Timmy Duncan went 7-3-4 with 2 steals. And Dan Green, 4 points in his 24 minutes. Just the 2 steals, not a great night for him. I'd definitely be keeping Green over someone like Korver, but he's not 100% a must-own guy. Kevin Martin made his Spurs debut. He had 1 point. I think it goes without saying that you're not owning him unless we're talking 20 teams deep. But Patty Mills, really restricted recently. Only 17 minutes here, 5 points and 4 assists. He was a guy that you were adding like crazy in 12-team leagues. That's done. You can move on from Patty in most of those formats. Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets. Devin Booker, 35 points with 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and a triple one. Insane percentages. He clearly has to be owned. He's owned in 56% of leagues. It is way too low. Yes, he was horrific through most of January and a big chunk of February. He has turned that around now. And I think with Brandon Knight back in the fray, and yes, Brandon Knight is back, Booker is going to be able to, he's still going to get big minutes. That's not changing. He's going to be more efficient. He's going to have less defensive focus. And I think we're going to have a massively strong finish from Devin Booker. Brandon Knight did play 25 minutes, 10 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, a block, and 2 triples in 25 minutes. He is going to win teams some leagues by adding him off the waiver wire. I hope my team's one of them because I did it. It's going to take him a bit to get back up to 30-plus minutes, but Ronnie Price played 38 minutes here. That is not happening any longer. Now, Price was okay, 8 points with 5 assists, 2 steals, and 2 triples, but if you've got an opportunity to move on from Price to get someone else, now's the time to do it. Alex Len, who I touched on earlier, really poor shooting night, 2 of 13 for 4 points, but 13 rebounds and a block, still getting that done. PJ Tucker only played 19 minutes, no foul trouble. I guess it's because he's just not good. He's really struggled this season after being a guy that I was relatively impressed with. Ron Price, I've talked about him. John Lua, the explosive 19-7 game in 17 minutes. 8 of 10 shooting is unrealistic, and Earl Watson does not like him, so I'm not buying into that. And Mirza Teletovic, if you own him in a 12, even a 14-team league, his play has fallen off considerably. For the Nuggets, I spoke about Jokic before, but Emmanuel Mudiay on fire at the moment. 30 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 triples and a block on 13 of 20 shooting. He had 4 turnovers, yes, but he has recently got that under control. He has to be owned in most leagues. It really depends. Can you take on a percentage hit? But say over the last month, he's at 41 from the field and 74 from the line at 2.6 turnovers. Yeah, they're not good, but they're not horrible. The free throws is easily doable. You have to look at how strong your team is, but you can deal with that. The field goals are a little bit more of a concern. They take a little bit more work and a little bit more team building to do that. And the turnovers are fine. They're not out of control at all. So Mudiay has really tightened up his game. He's looking a lot better since returning from that ankle injury. And in fact, over the last 2 weeks, he's inside the top 65 players. So yeah, probably should be owned in most leagues. Will Barton, welcome return to form for Will. 17-8 with a triple one. Hasn't been good lately at all. And to me, before this, he was really on the cusp of getting dropped. While Gaz Harris went 12-4-2 with a couple of triples in his 32 minutes. Yusuf Nurkic finally saw the court. 4 minutes for 2 points, 2 steals and a block. That's still really good per-minute production, but he's just not going to get the minutes at the moment. Ken Fareed only played 15 in this one. 4 and 5 with a steal and a block. So goes his little nice hot streak of some big numbers. Didn't eventuate here. And Jakar Sampson has started all these games since being signed for Denver. And I think every single game, his minutes have decreased. It didn't take long for Mike Malone to realize that this guy is just garbage. They're better off running Barton out there, Harris out there, Augustine out there next to Mudiay. Guys like Alex Toupin as well, who scored 10 points in his 15 minutes. These guys are all better than Jakar Sampson. So Jakar Sampson, you had to own him in like an 18-team league once he was announced as the starter. But with people actually realizing how ungood he is, you can move on pretty comfortably. The last game of the night, the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Los Angeles Lakers. Channing Frye started, played 24 minutes and had 21-7 with 5 triples. Good luck predicting that, and good luck getting that to occur again. This was without, I said before, without Tim Mozgov, but Mozgov played. It was without Kevin Love, so he got that extra role there. He actually performed the Kevin Love role better than Kevin Love has been doing lately, which is a fair task. Kyrie sliced open the Lakers, 26-9 with 11 of 20 shooting. Just a very underrated player to me. And he is someone that, imagine on the off chance that LeBron does leave the Cavs in the summer, imagine getting Kyrie in a dynasty league without LeBron there. I think we see top 10 Kyrie in that sort of situation. JR had 17 points with 4 triples, 2 steals, a block, and 2 assists. I was waiting for a big JR Smith game. This doesn't quite qualify, but it was pretty good. And LeBron went 24-5-7 with a couple of blocks. Tristan Thompson got his 14 boards in 34 minutes. That is all that he provides. And Iman Shumpert, just showing yet again that big game the other day was a complete fluke. 2 and 5 in 26 minutes for Iman. Kobe Bryant, 32 minutes. Hasn't played that many minutes in a long time. Probably didn't need to, but he was feeling it. He was 11 of 16 for 26 points. 3 triples, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Not sure that this really changes my opinion on whether you own Kobe. You can, but the minutes are going to be limited moving forward. The games are going to be limited. It's probably not worth it. Julius Randle, 15-9 with a couple of steals. Yeah, decent. D'Angelo Russell, another 20-point performance, 24 with 4 triples, 5 assists, and 4 rebounds. He is playing sensationally at the moment. And Jordy Clarkson really struggled, really close to the dud of the night. 2 of 12 from the field for just 5 points. But Marcelo Huertas just keeps getting it done. 13-3-5, a steal and 2 blocks. Huertas is playing really fantastically. Now, when Lou Williams returns, it's going to cut into Huertas' role. But your deep league guys, your 20-team league guys, Huertas, I would say that Huertas has played himself into a consistent role now. It's not going to be as big as this, but he will play most games moving forward. As will Brandon Bass, who had 12-8 with a block and 2 assists here. He is probably a 16, even a 14-team league guy at the moment. Just really a super efficient player as well. I reckon this is about the 4th time this year that he hasn't missed a single shot from the field and from the free throw line. So Brandon Bass should be on the radar in your deeper leagues, and he's only owned in 8% of leagues, which is just too few for me for Brandon Bass. That is the 4 games from Thursday. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to preview Friday's action for DFS. I saw you. Games from Friday, so it's a lot of games, a lot of DFS action. Before I get into that, though, Mario Chalmers, we talked about him on the podcast the other day with that injury that looked really bad, and I thought it was going to be a ruptured Achilles. It was a ruptured Achilles. He is out for the season. He has been cut by the Grizzlies. Danny Granger with some interesting comments on Twitter about no loyalty and athletes being used as assets, etc., etc. Interesting to see what happens with Chalmers now. I think that he is a much better player than he is given credit for. As for the Grizzlies, there's lots of talkers. Who's the guy that's going to pick up? Well, the thing is, you got to remember, is Mike Conley's not out for a long time. He might miss one more game, and then it's going to be all Conley all the time. Now, they have signed, or they're going, sorry, that's not true. They've signed Bryonte Weber out of the D-League as a point guard, and they're most likely going to sign Ray McCallum, who was cut by the Spurs to sign Andre Miller. So that's going to be your point guards. But they're not going to start. They're not going to play 30 minutes. They're not going to do what Mario Chalmers did and play 26 minutes across the 1 and the 2. They're not going to do that. It's going to mean a bump for Lance Stephenson. So in the short term, he's a guy that I like. If Conley misses the next game, he is going to handle the ball a ton. So he'd be a guy that I'd look at. But long term, I'm not sure there's really any... Tony Allen, he is what he is. He's scored really well the last 2 games, but that's so far from what he is as a player. Lance will be interesting, but then Conley comes back. He'll play his 33 minutes, maybe even more. And the value of a guy like Lance, of Ray McCallum, of Bryonte Weber, drops down to a reserve role, to a 14 to 16 team league role. So I think that is most likely how it all works out in that spot. The other injury news was yesterday we had OJ Mayo, who was taken out of the starting lineup and then he was sick. Then he fell down the stairs at home, broke his leg, and he is out for the season. OJ, it's been the worst season OJ Mayo could possibly have had. So it's going to be lots and lots of Jared Bayless. The other 2 short starting point guards they've had, OJ Mayo and Michael Carter-Williams, are now out for the season. Bayless is going to play a ton. Tyler Ennis is going to get a bump. And I think Rashard Vaughn gets a bit of a bump. But Bayless is the guy that you want to own across standard leagues. Yes, Giannis Antetokounmpo is the point guard by default. But even when Giannis sits, there's no other point guard really. So it's going to be Bayless in those situations. Antetokounmpo gets a bump as well. But If there's some way you can find him on a waiver wire, please let me know what sort of league that is, because I would love to know what's going on. And if it's just regular, I'll join in and be able to grab Giannis at this time of the season. Let's get into these games. The first one, the Detroit Pistons and the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets are favored by 4.5. The total here is 200.5 points. All the usuals are still out. Anthony Tolliver, Stan Johnson, Jody Meeks, Spencer Hawes, all those guys are still out. Let's look at the point guards. Reggie Jackson at 6,700. It's a nice matchup for him, but his performance of late has been poor. He's had one good game in there with almost a 50-point outing. You put him into a tournament, and that's really about it, and my confidence level is not high. Kemba Walker has been awesome, but he's now at 9,100. That is exceptionally expensive. Yes, he's averaging 50 points across his last five. Against the Pistons, I'm a little bit concerned of him getting to that 45-point plateau. I would still be not completely scared of using him, but with 10 games on, I reckon you can find a cheaper guy who might be a little bit better value. Steve Blake and Jorge Gutierrez, not a lot to really see with those guys. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has put together a couple of strong games in a row. He's at 5,100. He's averaging 26 across the last three. Now, Nick Batum and Courtney Lee have been quite restrictive against shooting guards for the Hornets' opponents, and that is probably a factor against playing Kentavious. He's never been a cash game option, really. He's more of a tournament player, but this matchup is not ideal. Jeremy Lin, Courtney Lee, if you believe in miracles, he put up 27 points in the last one at 3,700. The miracle would be if he does it again, so I don't think we get too excited there. Darren Hilliard, Jeremy Lamb, not a lot to love either. Small forwards. Nick Batum has transitioned back to a small forward on FanDuel. He's at 6,900. Nick Batum is still underrated in a lot of places, and I know we're talking DFS, but seasonal places. I saw a post today on Reddit saying, you know, I'm in a five-man league, which must be really weird for a start. He was talking about, do I drop Jimmy Butler? Someone dropped him because of the injury, you know, playoff race, all that sort of stuff. Do I drop Nick Batum to grab Jim Butler? And you go, oh, that sounds dumb. Oh, okay, five-man league, maybe. And he goes, my other options I was maybe considering instead of Batum were Luol Deng and Will Barton. And that's the value that people place on Batum, which to me is ludicrous. So if your trade deadline's open, go and get him. Go and target Batum, because if people are valuing him less than Deng and less than Barton, I think they're getting it wrong. Marcus Morris is at 5,200. He's got a great matchup here. He's been playing okay lately, but I don't put a massive amount of trust in Marcus Morris. Power forwards. Toby Harris, I think he's been great in Detroit. He's been super consistent. He's averaging 31 points across his last three, dropped 35 in the last one. This is a solid matchup. He's priced at 6,000. 30 points is what he needs. 30 points is what I expect him to be able to get. On the Hornet side of things, Cody Zeller is at 4,600. I really like Cody Zeller, but I'm not sure he gets value at 46. And Frankie Kaminsky is at 3,700. If he was playing anyone bar the Pistons, I'd be a little bit interested, considering he dropped a 24 in the last game. He's had another 24-point game in the last five. He'd be an interesting, cheap tournament player. Marvin Williams is at 5,800. Not a good matchup for him here at 5,800. It's okay, but his high score in his last five has just been 32. In the background, while I'm doing this, my 8-year-old son is doing the Ravishing Rick Rude entrance dance and trying to distract me. So thank you, Ben, for the gyrating hips. completely throwing me off at center. Andre Drummond is at 8,600. Big 48-point game in the last one. The Hornets, not great at defending centers. I think that Drummond is an okay guy to look at. Probably not my ideal choice, but you feel relatively confident of him approaching 40 points. Al Jefferson at 52, I'm not going to spend up there. The next game, Brooklyn and Philadelphia. The best thing I can say about this game is there's no real risk of a blowout with these two teams, which is when you play against them normally, that's what you risk. Here, they're playing against each other, and we might see a closer game and allow some of these poor defenses to allow some big numbers to come out. The Nets are favored by 3. The total is 211.5 points. Jahlil Okafor is out already, and Brett Brown has said they're not taking it off the table of ruling Jahlil Okafor out for the season. So that's a risk. The point guard situation for the Nets, Shane Larkin and Donald Sloan, this is what happens. One player plays well for two games. The next game, he plays 20 minutes. And that's what happened with Shane Larkin. Yeah, big games, 30 minutes, big production. I will play you 16. So Don Sloan, who'd been terrible, can play 28. Now, Sloan played 28 in the last game. Larkin played 20. So you'd expect that Sloan gets big minutes again in this one, and then he'll look for a decrease. Using either of them is real tough, Shane Larkin at 3,700, you might throw into a tournament, but it's tough. On the other side, Ish Smith gets to face off against these crud masters. Smith at 6,700, 30 points. It should be an absolute minimum for him in this game. Him and Nerlens Noel running the pick and roll. I'm going to love Smith in this one. Isaiah Cannon at 3,900. He can drop some cannonballs. We know that. Could he hit 4 or 5 threes? There's a chance of it. He's a tournament option. That's really about it. Shooting guards. Markel Brown really disappointing in the last game after two strong performances. 4,100. He is worth a look in a tournament for me. Wayne Ellington is not, and neither is Nick Stauskas. At small forward, Bob Cove. He is a guy that I'm liking a lot. Now, the salary's risen. It's at 6,200. It's not prohibitive against the Nets. He's averaging 36 across the last three. He dropped almost a 40 in the last game. 6,200 in a matchup like this, it's fine. Bojan Bogdanovic at 4,000. Don't love that. Hollis Thompson at 38. I would much rather spend the money, the 38 on Hollis, than I would 4,000 on Bojan. Thompson's averaging almost 24 across the last three. It's a nice matchup for him, so he is worth considering in a if you're looking for a cheap guy in a tournament. Power forwards, Jeremy Grant has really disappointed given this extra run. He's at 5,200. Very tough to use him, but this is a good matchup. I would be okay and hope for a turnaround, but there's no cash game trust there. 6,800 for Thad Young. Yeah, his form also has been a little bit down, but I reckon this is a big game for Thad. Revenge game factor, easy opponent factor. Thad at 6,800, I feel like he's a pretty decent guy to look at. Nerlens Noel is at 6,300. You've got to spend less than you do on Thad. I think that Nerlens is a 40-point upside player here. With Ish Smith, with no Jahlil Okafor, I do like Nerlens Noel a lot. Guys like Thomas Robinson, Rishon Holmes, they need someone in front of them to get injured to have big nights. Brookie Lopez, he's at 8,700. He dropped 57 in the last game. He's averaging over 40 in his last five. This is a really good matchup for him. I'm very comfortable using him. I would rather use him than, say, Andre Drummond that we covered in the last game if you're looking to spend up big on a center. There's also some other big price centers that I'm going to be even more interested in a bit later. The Rockets and the Celtics. Jared Sullinger is dealing with dehydration after his illness and playing in the last game, so we'll check to see his status. Kelly Olynyk is still dealing with his shoulder problem. He may play, he might not. And on the Rockets side of things, Terrence Jones, we might never see him again, which is not a bad thing. The Celtics point guard, Marcus Smart, is at 4,800. Overall, this matchup for point guards is not ideal. You know, you've got Marcus Smart defending, you've got Avery Bradley defending for the Celtics. On the Rockets side of things, you've got Pat Beverley defending. These are all negative matchups. Isaiah Thomas at 8,000, I don't like it against Pat Beverley. I don't like Smart going up against Beverley. I don't like Beverley going up against Smart at 5,200. Although Beverley at 5,200 is a little bit interesting given he's averaging 27 across his last five. But again, it's a negative matchup, so there's not much to be gained from these guys, I think, in this sort of situation. Shooting guards, yes, Jim Harden's going to have Avery Bradley on him. Yes, Jim Harden's price at 11,000, but Jim Harden's 55, 56 points basically every night at the moment. He's got 60, 70 point upside. It depends on where else you're spending your money, but I'm not really fussed. I think he's going to have a huge night. The only guy I don't like playing him against is Kawhi. I'm fine with using Jim otherwise. Avery Bradley at 5,200, not getting it done for me. Small forwards. Jay Crowder's been in a little bit of a slump as well. Now, some of that was, the Celtics have had some pretty big blowouts, and that's limited his minutes. He's at 6,100. He gets the Rockets bump. Fine. I think that 30-plus is an easy target for him in this one. Evan Turner at 5,800 is also in play. He is averaging 28 in those last three. And again, Rockets bump, high-paced game. I like him too. 6,200 for Trev Ariza. Not getting it done. Not going to look into that. Nor am I going to care too much about Corey Brewer or Mick Beasley. Power forwards, Terrence Jones. No, I'm joking. Jared Sullinger is at 6,100. If Kelly Olynyk returns, we are definitely not using Jared Sullinger. If Olynyk is out, then I would entertain it and hope for a 30-point game against this Rockets front court, which should be tasty. Amir Johnson, could he get double-digit points? Maybe. Can't seem to do it at the moment. And the Houston power forward situation is not nice. Donatas Montiunas, Josh Smith, Clint Capella, Montrezl Harrell, no one to really love there at all. Centers. Dwight Howard, 8,100, great matchup for him against the Celtics, which is awesome for big men to go up against. 8,100, 40 points for Dwight, absolutely fine. Another one of these high-priced centers that is definitely worth a look. I think you almost have to spend big at center in Friday's slate, and you've got quite a few options. Kelly Olynyk, if he comes back, we're not using him. And if he is out, Tyler Zeller at 3,600 is a little bit interesting. I think he can put up some okay numbers. The Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls, no spread out for this one yet. Jim Butler is considered doubtful. Got some news on Chris Bosh, who thinks that he's going to return before the end of the season. So it depends on how you're sitting in your league. If you've got a bye this week, or you're locked in, your playoffs don't sell for a couple of weeks, I would add him. But if you're in a playoff fight, if you're in the playoffs, you don't add him now unless you can get him into an IR spot. You don't just want to leave him sitting on the bench whilst you're in the playoffs for 2 weeks. And he might not come back. That's a possibility as well. Point guards. Derrick Rose has been playing pretty well. He's at 7,000. Against this Heat team, it's not a good spot. And even his numbers recently, they're not enough to justify 7,000. 6,600 for Goran Dragic. People love playing the Bulls as point guards. His numbers have been down. I see a big game here for Dragic. I think that he can easily go for 40 points. So he hasn't gone for 40 in his last five. He has had a 39, but that's the sort of area I think we're looking at for Dragic here. Aaron Brooks can't even get into the rotation anymore for Chicago, which is fine because he's not that good. Etuan Moore at shooting guard, 4,200. Jim Butler likely out. I don't think he's going to drop a 34 again, but 26 points is what he's averaging in the last three. 24 points is a fine total, I think, to look for Etuan. Dwayne Wade against the Bulls, really good spot for him as well. He's at 7,600. It's not that bad of a salary. You've got to get to 35 or 36 points, but I think that he can do it in this matchup. This is a good spot for him. Joe Johnson, Josh Richardson. You know I love Josh Richardson. He's at 3,700, but he had a big game in the last one, and I like what he does, but his production normally isn't big enough for me to justify using him in DFS. Use Tony Snell if you want to acquire the lowest score you possibly can. Small forwards. Mirotić is at 4,800. He dropped to 26 today. He has looked great since coming back. At 4,800, if he gets 25 points, bang, it's 5x. It's easy, does it? I think that his minutes go up. I think he gets involved. Love looking at Mirotić here. 3,900 for Mick Dunleavy. The price is good. The minutes are good. The production's a little bit not ideal. And against a Heat team, I would look at Dunleavy as a tournament small forward option. Luol Deng is at 6,300. Fine. As good as it gets, almost, playing against the Bulls. Former team. Yeah, poor defense, poor front court. He's going to play power forward. He's going to get to grab rebounds. He's at 6,300. I think Luol Deng is a great option. Justice Winslow and Doug McDermott, not really that keen on them. 5,200 for Taj. He's not doing anything at the moment. Bob Portis, no chance. And Amari Stoudemire at 3,700. A great matchup. Bulls front court is awesome. Can Stoudemire block a few shots? It doesn't really matter, even if he does, I don't think. Center. Here is another high-priced center you want to look at. Hassan Whiteside plays the Bulls. He's already averaging 45 points in 31 minutes across his last three. You feel that when he takes the court, 4,000 is the absolute floor. And he can go big. Here's a chance, I think, in this game to break the blocks record in the NBA, which I believe is 12. I haven't checked that out, but I heard that on Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue's podcast today. They're talking about who's going to break the record. He is the guy that's going to break the blocks record. If anyone's going to break it, it's going to be him. And there is a big chance of him doing it here. Pau Gasol at 9,500. Just really, really good numbers recently, averaging 53 across his last three games. I'm spending $800 less and taking Hassan Whiteside, though. Minnesota and Oklahoma City. The Thunder are favored by 12.5. The total is a massive 223.5 points. Let's start with the point guards. Russ Westbrook, he's at 10,900. I think you can get some high-priced point guards in your lineup, but this is not. I don't think I'm spending 10,009 on Russ. I would spend it. I'd spend that extra 100 and take Jim Harden, especially given the dearth of talent at the shooting guard spot. Not sure I'm overly keen on using Russ. He'd be okay, but that's pretty high. Rick Rubio at 6,300. Bit down in his production lately, but it doesn't get much better than playing against Westbrook from a point guard defensive standpoint. I think that Rubio can put up a decent night here. Campaign, does he get off the bench? Won't matter if he does. And Tyus Jones has been playing very, very well lately, but it's not enough to intrigue us for DFS purposes. Shooting guards. Deion Waiters, don't think he's going to play, so I hope everything's okay with him and his family. Zach LaVine at 5,600. Look, he's been playing a lot of minutes. His production's been okay, but it hasn't been awesome. 27 points across the last five, that's fine. It feels like just a solid cash game guy with not a lot of tournament upside with the way that he's currently playing. No upside on Andre Robertson, Randy Foy, or Anthony Murray, obviously. Small forwards, KD, 10,900. If I'm spending 10,900 on a Thunder player, it is KD. It's not Westbrook. He is averaging 54 across the last five. His lowest score in his last five games has been 51. He is super consistent. Lock in 50 points, 10,900. Andrew Wiggins has got no chance. Durant all the way. 6,200 for Wiggins. His production's been actually pretty good, averaging 35 across his last three. But I'm really not getting into Wiggins until he's at less than 6,000. Shabazz Muhammad at 4,000, he needs to be less than that for me to be interested. And the rest is not worth talking about. Serge Ibaka's salary at the power forwards is pretty low. He's at 5,700. This is a good spot for him. Can he have a decent game? He only needs to get to 28 points. And if he does it, that's 5x value. He could have a 30-point game here. I think that Serge is fine to look at using here. Gorgui Dieng's down to 5,900. His production has dropped significantly too, so I'm not all that interested in him. And the other guys, Adrian Payne, Nick Collison, no appeal from any of those players. The centers, Steve Adams is at 4,200. He's going to have his hands full against Karl Anthony Towns, so we can leave him out of it. Towns at 8,900. Disappointing game in the last one, but I think that he can look to bounce back here. Now, Adams is very good defensively, and that might be an impact on Towns. He's just another high-priced center that's out there. Whiteside's still my pick for those guys, but Towns is another option, but there's just so many high-priced centers out there that it's going to be hard for you to roster him. Maybe in DraftKings, when you can play two of them, it might be an ideal way to go, but on FanDuel, you've got one center, and there's a lot of guys you've got to spend up for. The next game is the New Orleans Pelicans and the Memphis Grizzlies. Just injuries all over the place. We don't know if Mike Conley's playing. We don't know if Norris Cole's playing. On Basketball Monster, we do our what-if scenarios where, you know, if this guy plays, if this guy's out, we do it for all the guys who are questionable. Yeah, most games I've got one situation set up for the Pelicans. They've got one situation. You know, what if Norris Cole is out? How does it change? The Memphis Grizzlies have got seven situations. What if Conley's out, Birdman's out, Randolph's out? What if Birdman and Conley are out? What if Birdman and Zebo are out? What if Zebo and Conley are out? What if Birdman's out? What if Zebo's out? What if Conley's out? These are the permutations of these guys who are all important pieces. So me talking about it from DFS for the Grizzlies, it's tough. You know, if Conley plays at 6,800, I think that he's worth looking at. Jrue Holiday at 8,200, that salary's gone through the roof. He's producing through the roof, though. If Conley's in, not using him. If Conley's out, I think for Holiday, it's definitely worth looking at. And if Cole is out, another bump. If Cole is playing at 5,700, I'm fine with using him. He had 45 in the last game. That is not a high salary, and he would be someone to look at. Tone Douglas at 3,600. If Cole is out, he's a great tournament player. That's cheap price. Bronte Weber is unlikely to be on. He's not on FanDuel, so we don't need to worry about him in that situation. Shooting guards. Tone Allen at 4,500. Just some surprising numbers. I'd be more keen to use Lance Stephenson at 4,200. If Conley's out, he's going to have to play point guard, and there's going to be some minutes come his way. But Allen would be an intriguing guy at 4,500. He'd have some value. Small forwards, Matty Barnes at 4,800. He is always in play to me in a tournament, but it's hard to trust him in cash. And Vince Carter is putting up number after number. If we have a couple of these guys out, 4,000 for Vince Carter is not a stupid investment. PJ Hairston, Alonzo G, not much to really get excited about there. Power forwards. Zebo. If he's in at 6,500, I like it in this matchup. If he's out, Jermichael Green at 60. Jermichael Green is 6,400. Oh, wow, I almost fell off my chair. Jermichael Green is 6,400. Wow. Hadn't seen that before. I cannot believe that. He's averaging 36 points across his last three. He's averaging 28 across his last five. Obviously, if Randolph plays, you're not using Green. If Randolph's out, Green is not a bargain. This is basically right where he needs to be. He'd be okay value, but he's not bargain value. That is amazing to me. Anthony Davis at 10,300. I am all for using Anthony Davis here. I think that 50 points should be a very, very straightforward target for him to achieve. The centers. This is one of the biggest piles of garbage that I've seen in a while. The Birdman, Omer Asik, Kendrick Perkins. What a group. Now, Birdman at 3,500. Great ease rankings. Yeah, really nice against these just towers of nothingness, Asik and Perkins. But Birdman himself hasn't been doing massively. He's a tournament option at that cheap center price. The next game, the Washington Wizards and the Utah Jazz. No spread for this game as well, because Bradley Beal has rejoined the team. He may play in this one. That's a bit of an out-of-the-blue situation for Brad Beal. At point guard, Shelvin Mack's at 4,000. He definitely hasn't blown anybody away, but he's putting up some pretty decent numbers at 4,000, and he is a tournament option. And he's, you know, he's not a terrible cash game play at 4,000. Johnny Wall at 9,700. At 10,000, when you're taking on the Jazz, I would go in a different direction. And Ramon Sessions at 3,800 had a massive game with Bradley Beal out and with Allen Anderson ejected. Not buying into that reoccurring. If Rod Hood happens to be out, Trey Burke dropped at 21 in the last game at minimum salary. He'd be someone to look at if Hood happens to be out. The shooting guards, I'm not using Beal even if he plays. 5,500 for Rod Hood. Maybe, but I probably wouldn't. And then the bunch of guys like Allen Anderson, Garrett Temple, Chris Johnson, and Marcus Thornton, who was recently signed by the Wizards. Not much to see with any of those guys. Small forwards, Gordy Haywood at 7,100. Hasn't been living up to that sort of salary lately, but small forwards have been having some decent success against the Wizards, so he'd be interesting, but not brilliant. Otto Porter at 4,300 cannot do anything at the moment, so he's not worth looking at to me. Power forwards, Derek Favors, 7,400. Fine using him. A really poor game in the last one, but that was limited in a blowout situation. At 7,400, he's a 35-point guy, I think he is, so I'm okay with him. Markieff Morris, no thanks. Trevor Booker, no thanks. Nene, no thanks. And Jared Dudley, despite his 27-point performance in the last game, yeah, going up against Derek Favors and Rudy Gobert, I reckon you can look elsewhere. Marcin Gortat is at 7,000. It's too high for a guy who is just really struggling to get to 35 points. Rudy Gobert at 6,800, too high for me as well. The Orlando Magic and the Sacramento Kings, there is no spread for this one just yet. A couple of injury situations we need to keep an eye on. At point guard, Lord Alfred Payton is dealing with an elbow injury. We're also dealing with Scott Skiles going out there and threatening a lineup change. Again, I'm not sure what he's going to do, but we could see some Orlando stupidity coming very soon. Not using Lord Alfred, not using Brandon Jennings, CJ Watson. These guys could all start. Yeah, we could see CJ Watson starting. We could see Brandon Jennings starting. I wouldn't be using them in DFS, though. Darren Collison at 5,300. Big game in the last one. I'm okay with throwing him into a tournament and seeing how that plays out. Rajon Rondo at 8,200. It's too expensive. His form has been nowhere near that sort of level recently. If Lord Alfred Payton is out, Vic Oladipo at 7,000, I think is a very, very nice option. Even if Payton plays at 7,000 against this Kings defense, 35 points should be in the bag for Oladipo. Ben McLemore is likely out. He's doubtful with that finger fracture. Marco Ballinelli at 3,500. He is a great tournament option, I think. If McLemore happens to be out, offense is lost because Boogie Cousins has been suspended. So he's he might hit some shots. He might get hot. Rudy Gay, though, at 6,700 with Boogie out. Gay is a 40-point guy here. There is a massive chance of him having a big night, and I love using him. Evan Fournier at 5,500. He is a good option, too, at that cheapish salary and against a great matchup for him. Love it. Unless he gets benched, which we need to see what Skiles is going to do. Power forwards. Aaron Gordon is at 6,600. The production definitely hasn't been there lately, just 24 over the last five. I think that he bounces back here and has a big game. He is definitely a tournament target of mine. Willie Cauley-Stein at 3,500 has been buried, but Cousins is out. He's going to have to play some minutes, and does he get to 20 points? If he does, then at 3,500, he's made his value back. Jay Smith will likely start again with Nick Vucevic out. Has done nothing so far. I don't expect much to change. Although with Cousins out, he might be able to have a decent game too. So you get 25 to 30 points out of Smith. If you get 30 points out of Smith, you are absolutely laughing. And the centers. Kostas Koufos is a very good player. Extremely underrated player. He's a minimum salary guy. If he gets 22 points, you have smashed your value. That's over 6x. He is fine to look at. Dwayne Dedmon. This is a matchup of Kostas Koufos versus Dwayne Dedmon. What a matchup this is going to be. 3,600 for Dwayne Dedmon. I'll look elsewhere. Portland at Golden State. The Blazers beat the Warriors the last time they played. Do you reckon that's playing on Steph Curry's mind at all? That Dame Lillard went off against them last time? I am certain it is. And at 10,600, I think Steph is going to throw the hammer down here. There is definite 55 point upside for Steph. I love it. On the other hand, Dame Lillard at 96, brilliant option as well. He's definitely got 50 point upside. He's averaging 51, almost 52 across his last three. Both of these guys are awesome. If you found a way to pair them together, I reckon that's not a bad way to go. Sean Livingston and Brian Roberts, the drop-off is a little bit significant there. Shooting guards, CJ McCollum, 6,800. No, not really. No, not keen on it. Klay Thompson at 7,000. No, not keen on that either. And the rest of the guys, Gerald Henderson, Alan Crabb, Leandro Barbosa, nothing all that exciting there. small forwards, Harry Barnes. He is averaging 12.8 points across his last three games. He's at 4,100. He is also not good at fantasy basketball. He can be left out of it. Andre Iguodala, same, just not producing. And Al-Farouq Aminu and Mo Harkless, they are the pitchers of inconsistency. Power forwards. Draymond, 8,200. Tournaments only. Definite not a cash game play for me. Only a 37 average across his last five. 33 across his last three. Just not getting it done. Ed Davis went big in the last game, but I'd have no trust in that happening again, as did Maurice Spates, who dropped 28 points, and that'll probably never happen again this season. The centres, I like Mason Plumlee here. I don't trust him to use him at all. Same with Myers Leonard. And same with Andrew Bogut. All these guys have potential for big games, but the likelihood of it happening is probably all under 50%. The last game of the night, the New York Knicks and the Los Angeles Clippers. The Knicks travel to LA. The Clippers are favored by 9.5. The total is 203.5 points. Chris Paul against Jose Calderon. $10,000 for Chris Paul. 50 points for Chris Paul should be coming up. Very happy with that. Jose Calderon, 4,200. He is not a bad tournament option. He's being used excessively by Kurt Rambis. I've spoken about that at length on the show recently. Tournaments, fine. Look at him. Jerian Grant had a big game in the last one. I think if Aaron Aflalo's out, you might throw him into a tournament, but you probably wouldn't. Shooting guards, if Aflalo happens to play with that abdominal strain, I still wouldn't play him. JJ Redick is interesting, though, at 4,800. It's a really good matchup for him. Sasha Vucic dropped a 30 in the last game at 3,700. If Aflalo's out, you know, even then, the likelihood of Vucic repeating that sort of performance is so low that I reckon I'll live without it. I'd rather spend my money, get JJ Redick from this game, get a guy like Jamal Crawford at that extra $1,000. Small forwards, Jeff Green, probably time for him to have a stinker. Mallow at 9,100, he's going to play 40 minutes, he's going to get 40 plus points. I think this is fine to use Mallow. Yeah, Wes Johnson, Paul Pierce, not much else there. Power forwards,
percentages,
5,900, the salary is coming down, the production is following it, not using him. Derek Williams at 3,700. You know what? Derek Williams is averaging over 20 points the last three games. The minutes are up. I'd need Porzingis out to really play Derek Williams, but it's not a horrible guy to look at. It's not great, though. Centers. Robin Lopez, 5,600. Love using Robin Lopez here. DeAndre Jordan at 84. I think he is a pretty decent bet as well. Although Lopez has been really good at restricting opposition centers, I would rather spend it on Lopez and get that little bit less production than what I get from DeAndre in this matchup. Let's look at the DFS picks of the day now. Point guard, Shelvin Mack, 4,000, Ish Smith, 6,700, and Steph Curry, 10,600. Shooting guards, Etuan Moore, 42, Vic Oladipo, 7,000, and Jim Harden, 11,000. Small forwards, Nick Miritich, 48, Rudy Gay, 67, and Kevin Durant, 10,900. The power forwards, Willie Cauley-Stein, 35, Toby Harris, 6,000, and Tone Davis, 10,300. And centers, Costa Kufos, 35, Robin Lopez, 56, and Hassan Whiteside, 8,700. We are done here, guys. Make sure you are following me on Twitter at redrock_bball and subscribe to the show either on YouTube or on iTunes. It helps support the podcast an extreme amount. Of course, Basketball Monster has all your great daily and seasonal fantasy tools. Great stuff over there. Articles every day. Make sure you're reading the morning update article, which I tweet out on Basketball Monster, where I cover every game that's played. Actually, I didn't do today's one. Matt Smith did that, so check out Matt doing that. But in general, I do it, so make sure you're checking out all of that stuff on Basketball Monster. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.